Is this some kind of a sex episode?
You know what? It might be.
Hey, guys. This is a big day. Not only are you listening to or watching The Antler Queens, the most inclusive podcast where we shove peace, love, and yellow jackets down your beautiful goddamn throats, but today's the first episode with my official co-host, Kelly McClure. Yay!
Yay, it's official. So happy to be a part officially.
Yes.
Yeah, it feels great just to jump right in. I told you I was like Misty. I told you that before long, I just insert myself and then I'm there and that's what happens.
Yeah, it's so, yeah, I that's very sweet that you're not selling me out by telling everybody that I drugged you and made you agree to all kinds of weird things and you're secretly my podcast hostage. So, you know, we're recording this a little bit early, but by the time you listen to it, Valentine's Day is going to be right around the corner. So we are doing, as you might have guessed from our little intro, we're doing a sex episode. So very fun.
This show is a good one for it. I did another rewatch, so I think now that makes 9 my weekend to pull out all the sexy bits. And there's a lot. And how they, you know, view sexy times is very on point with just the general, you know, vibe of the show anyway. So yeah, this is going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. Before we dive into it, I just want to give a shout out to, we have a couple of new patrons, Brianna and Nakia, Jessica and Sarah. So thank you guys so much for your support. We also, of course, are eternally grateful to our honorary Antler Queens, Courtney and Jade, and our executive producer, Nakia Lamb. We have a cute little fancy card to show you guys at the end with your names on it. So that'll be fun. If you want to support the podcast, feel free to visit patreon.com/theantlerqueens. You can also find us on social media at The Antler Queens on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can find me on social media at Twitter and Instagram at Antler Queen Cal. And I'm not very exciting, so I don't do a whole lot much more than that. But Kelly, let everyone know where they can find you.
Mm-hmm. Twitter, for the most part, I'd say that's where I'm the most active, at Wolfie Vibes, and also Instagram at Wolfie Vibes.
Yes. And also her many, many articles on Salon and Vulture and AV Club and anything you can think of.
That too.
We have to get, I have to get your archive, your Yellow Jackets archive up on our website still.
Oh, cool.
So that people can, you know, very easily reference those because they're really good. And it's, you know, it's essentially why I reached out to you in the first place because I loved your writing. And our podcast, of course, is theantlerqueenspodcast.com. I feel like my jacket's bunching up today and I feel like I don't have a neck.
It looks great. I was telling earlier that we were both going to wear our jackets. I could not wear mine today because I live in New Orleans and it's already 80 degrees and it was making my glasses fog up and I'm still hot. I'm just sitting here sweating for no reason. So
I am forever doomed to not have a co-host that has the same cold weather issues that I have because I'm in Chicago and my last co-hosts were in Florida and California and you're in New Orleans and I'm just jealous of all of you.
I miss the snow. I miss it. But yeah, I get that. Grass is always greener.
Yeah, definitely. Although I don't know if I'd be very happy in New Orleans, though, just because of the humidity.
It's a lot. Yeah.
It would get to me. Ugh. Anyway, I'm talking way too much again. I was just complaining about the fact that I do that. But what did you want to start with, Kelly?
I was thinking we would. I made a list here just based on my rewatch over the past few days, and I thought we would go through each of the characters, maybe starting with Shauna, and kind of talk about how the characters dealt with sex pre and post Wilderness. So, you know, how they were when they were teens, and then, you know, how they dealt with it in their adult lives.
Shauna's a great one to start with.
Yeah, yeah. And I can kind of kick that off here as I'm reading my notes. So when we first see adult Shauna, I think it's like the very first shot of her. She's in her teenage daughter Callie's room, masturbating while looking at a picture of Callie's teenage boyfriend that's on her dresser. And we had talked about, did you want to bring up the article now about the, because that would be a good way to go into that. I can go down.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the Vulture panel, which was that 2021? I think so.
Yeah, it was 2021.
Yeah. Melanie Lynskey was talking about that scene and how they had to kind of do a line reading for it. Because the director, Karen, was saying, you know, that she wanted a very specific sort of like, I'm doing this just to do it. And it's not really a moment of pleasure. It's almost just kind of like, you know, because she's bored, she's doing laundry in the house. So she described to Melanie Lynskey how she wanted the orgasm in the scene to sound. And it was kind of just like, like it's not, you know, any type of relief. You're just like, oh my God, there's that. So it's funny knowing that and then rewatching the scene. But then what I had here, I don't think this was ever like discussed, but so she's using, Melanie Lynskey, Shauna, is using a little pink vibrator in the scene. And then when she's done, she chucks it in the laundry basket. Was that Callie's vibrator?
Oh, God.
Because you're not going to go into your daughter's room with like a vibrator in your pocket. So I think if she was in there tidying up and doing laundry, she found that. And that's what she used and then put it in the laundry basket to clean it, which.
Oh, God.
That's a whole other level.
That's so disturbing. Yeah. Yeah. I'd never thought about that before. But like, but yeah, I mean, why would she just be walking? She was obviously like, you know, doing housework. Why would she just be walking around with a vibrator in her, in her pocket?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But yeah, it's so funny because now whenever I rewatch that scene, it's so much funnier to me now because I just think about what she said. I think she described it as like, the noise was supposed to sound like, well, that happened.
Yeah. I found the quote here. So she's like, Karen, which I think it's like Karen Kusama, who directed Jennifer's Body, which is another fantastic movie. So she was like, the orgasm needs to sound like this. And then this is Melanie Lynskey speaking. She was like, can it sound like anything? And Karin was like, no. Melanie said she gave me a line reading of the orgasm. And what exactly was that line reading, you ask? Not really satisfied. She wanted it to be horrible. Like, so well, that kind of happened noise, which I think it was. And she goes on to say, you know, you're going to have to show me. So there was a lot of back and forth. I hope they do it behind the scenes.
Oh, you know, my God.
Oh, my God. Because there's just that alone. That's so hilarious.
Oh, God. I would love that. You know, another one of my favorite scenes from that pilot or from early on in the pilot was when she and Jeff were in therapy. And the therapist says that she wants them to go home and have sex. Mm-hmm. And Shauna says no. She's like, no. And like at the same time, Jeff is like, okay.
Yeah. And then they do their little role playing. I like how in that role playing scene, Shauna just decides to put on an accent because.
Right.
She's like, I'm here to return an armoire or whatever. And he's like, why would you be returning it? He's so literal. And
he was like, so offended.
Yeah. Yeah. He immediately goes to like defending his furniture store rather than working on their marriage, which is what they're supposed to be doing.
Right. I actually really love Jeff in that scene. Mm-hmm. There are so many things he does that I love. I love his like. When. when he says it's stupid and he looks embarrassed, like, I just love Warren Cole's reaction there. He just looks like such a, you know, he just looks like kind of this dumb, shy guy. It's
just down for whatever, you know.
Yeah. And then, and it's so, he's so funny. Like, how eager he was when she was like, well, I guess I should put my clothes back on because why would I be furniture shopping in my underwear? And she's like, okay, I'll meet you halfway. So he puts his pants back. I love him. I really love Warren Cole.
He's really good. You know, he reminds me a lot of Jason Ritter's dad. I'm having like every thought of my brain is going out of my head this morning. Is it Jack Ritter or was that his character's name?
Jack Tripper was his character. John Ritter.
John Ritter. There you go. Jeff reminds me of him, kind of like the comedic, you know, the way he just like carries himself and delivers his lines and stuff.
Yeah.
Reminds me of him. It's kind of like an old school comedy.
John Ritter was, I think, my first favorite celebrity ever. He's one of those people that, you know, like I've met plenty of celebrities, and if he's one of the few that if he were alive today and I got the chance to meet him, I think I might actually pass out because he's like just larger than life to me. It's like, yeah, he wasn't even human.
He was so good in Buffy. Remember that episode he was in where he was Joyce's, didn't they get briefly married, or he was just her boyfriend and then he turned out to be a robot?
Why do I not remember that?
I can't remember the episode name, but it was really good. He was really scary, because that's the thing, like comedians, when they play, you know, like a villain role, it's extra scary just because you're so used to seeing them one way. I'll send you the name or the link to that after. But yeah, it's really good.
Awesome. I wonder if, oh my God, I wonder how awful would that be if Callie like realized her vibrator was missing?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. That was like a hard turn, but I'm just like, and you know, I'm thinking back to what we were talking about, and that thought just popped in my head. Like, I would love to know. Like, I would hope that she would think that her mom just found it and threw it out or something.
Mm-hmm. Because even, you know, like you have a vibrator. I won't make this too disgusting, but like, so Shauna used it and threw it in the laundry basket, and then hopefully remembered to bring it back. You're going to know that has been cleaned, you know,
yeah,
like, you know what your stuff looks like. And I'd be like, why does this, you know, smell like Dawn detergent all of a sudden, or, you know, like hand soap or whatever she used to clean it?
Oh,
it's going to be suspicious no matter what.
I'm just imagining my mom finding my vibrator. I just want to throw up in my mouth thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. My mom probably still believes I don't even know what a vibrator is. So, you know, before we dive into anything else here, I wanted to just read a couple of, because I know I'm going to forget otherwise. I wanted to read just a couple of tweets from our listeners/viewers. I kind of asked everyone what they thought everyone's kinks were. And I got a couple of responses. Van has a praise kink, according mm-hmm. to one of our followers. Shauna has a knife play kink.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. Wooden Picador says Natalie has a grading/feedback kink.
Oh yeah.
Joe at Van is the OG LHB is the one who said Van Palmer has a praise kink. and Shauna's knife, is the one who said that Shauna's into knife play and BDSM in general.
Yeah, Shauna, definitely. That's like all throughout my notes. And it's so out of all the characters, and I don't want to like sexualize any of these people, but it is the sex episode. Shauna is the most attractive to me, and she has major top energy. Like another scene that I wrote down was, you know, with the second time she and Jeff tried to do the role play, and she came up and was like, you know, I'm looking for a new mattress or whatever, and then shoves him up against that table. And he looks so surprised. But I don't know why he would be surprised, because that's her. Like, that's even when she's like making soup or whatever, she has that like energy. I think that comes through a lot. But
for sure.
Yeah. And then the first time we see Shauna and Jeff when they're teens back in the 90s have sex after the party in the woods before they leave for their big game, she has that same energy. So even, you know, very young, she just climbs on top of him and tells him what to do. And he had to like it. He married her.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she calls the shots.
Yeah. Yeah.
She calls the shots for sure. I would love to. I'd love to know. I would have loved to have seen like a little bit more leading up to her and Adam going into that hotel room, you know?
Yeah.
Was she just like, was she like more coy about it, or was she just like, you know what? I have the afternoon off. Let's fuck.
That did seem to happen pretty fast, because they had their little, they were cutesy from the get-go, where she's like, what is this? Adorable? Are you being adorable right now? Right. It was already a little bit flirty. But then, you know, they went from that to having drinks in the hotel bar where she was stalking Jeff. And then, like you said, just all of a sudden having sex. And, well, I think because she assumed that Jeff was cheating on her, you know, so she, maybe it was like a little bit revenge, but... Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of think also that that speaks to her just being so detached from, you know, like, because she is a sexual person. We see her having more sex than really anyone else in the show. Like, we hear about Natalie having sex and, you know, but we see it more played out in Shauna. But she seems detached from that, just based on the line reading for the orgasm, that she's doing these things kind of almost like. Like one would smoke a cigarette, you know, she's trying to kind of like give herself something, some kind of crutch.
Yeah. I always kind of saw that scene. The way I interpreted that scene, I think is a little different than a lot of other people interpreted that scene. I always felt like just being in her daughter's bedroom, you know, in this very girly teenage room, I almost felt like it was, I'm just thinking about everything that the main characters have gone through and all the trauma that they have, and it can be like, regardless of what kind of trauma it is, that can really affect your ability to enjoy sex. And it would be surprising to me if most or all of them like got that much enjoyment out of sex in their adult
especially
lives.
If they're medicated too. You know, she could be on, most people are these days, if she's on antidepressants of any sort, that'll really fizzle you out.
yeah for sure. And you know, I think part of her is wanted to feel like that teenager again. And you know, in another part of it too, I think some of it was also about control.
Because
her daughter reminds her a lot of Jackie.
Exactly. Yeah, you bring up a really good point there with the adult Shauna looking at the picture of Callie's boyfriend. I don't think she was really like, you know, as an adult having the hots or, you know, getting turned on by a picture of a teenage boy. I think she's just so trapped mentally. They all are probably back in that time that she, like, this is when she felt free that time and like, you know, boys that looked to, you know, that were that age, that's still when she was like free to be sexual and didn't have, you know, as many hangups. So she's probably just gravitating to that. And that's probably why it felt so good to be with Adam, because he was so much younger and that just felt more natural and more like, oh, now I'm with this youthful energy. And that's when I was happy. And now I have to go home and, you know, try to have sex with my husband.
Yeah. And also, I mean, she's also felt stifled most of her life. And, mm-hmm. you know, she sees her husband with this woman who she thinks he's having an affair with. And she feels like sleeping with this other guy is almost a way, like, she can't control what her husband's doing, mm-hmm. but she can take some control in not being the person that just lets him have that and doesn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think Shauna is, you're right, she has a lot of top energy for sure, mm-hmm. but I think she definitely has struggles with control issues a lot.
Like, yeah,
like not feeling in control. And I think that's where a lot of that comes from,
mm-hmm.
honestly. Like, I feel like if she were to be in a sexual situation with somebody who was dominant and wanted her to be submissive,
mm-hmm.
I feel like that would be horrifying for her.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even think she would probably fight them. You mm-hmm. know, I don't think she would give in and feel like, cause some people when they are alpha in that way, they want to find someone who can take them down a notch. And that feels kind of relaxing. You know, that's like the whole thing, but I don't think that would be for her. You're right. I think she would fight and try to like desperately get that back, because if she doesn't have that strength that she knows, you know, that she can call on whenever she needs to, then what? Then, you know, she's just as sad as like she really is on the inside. And that would be terrible. I don't think she would ever allow that to happen.
Yeah. And you know, and I think that's why Jessica said to her when she was in her house, like, mm-hmm. is this really how you thought your life would turn out? You were an elite athlete, got straight A's, early admission to Brown. And Shauna told her off so brilliantly. I mean, what she said was extremely rude, but, you know, I think that was just a massive trigger for Shauna, because it's like she does have, you know, she did have, she's so capable and she's so smart, and she kind of, I feel like the life that she chose for herself, and I do think that it's the life that she wanted at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I think it's more her way of dealing with her trauma, mm-hmm. is just to kind of lead this very kind of mediocre, you know, not too exciting humdrum life.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the issues that she has with control. You know, it's, one thing I'm really curious about, there is a scene where, I don't know if you remember or if you noticed this, but when she's killing Adam, and, you know, it flashes through all of those scenes, mm-hmm. like, you know, it shows her, like, uncovering Jackie in the snow, and it, you know, it shows a bunch of other things. There's a scene of her tying someone up, and she's on top of them, and it, I mean, it flashes by really quickly, and it looks like a sexual situation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't seen that.
I wonder if that was a flash of her having sex with Adam, or if that was like maybe more happened with them all and Travis during Doom Coming than we saw.
Well, it was adult Shauna.
It was adult Shauna, right?
Yeah. But one of our followers actually suggested that it could have been adult Travis. That maybe she had some sort of relationship with him.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Timeline.
That makes sense. Yeah, she didn't have any qualms about going after whoever she wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. It could explain, if that were the case, it could explain why she and Natalie were so kind of like standoffish to each other.
Yeah.
At first, you know.
That's interesting. I like that. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But yeah, it's I don't know if I would I like Shauna's knife's comment about her being into knife play. I don't know that she actually would be into knife play, but I like the comment.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely think she, you know, because of her control issues for sure, I don't think she ever likes to be submissive.
No. You had brought up Thaisa, so that'd be a good segue into her, and she's actually next in my notes. There was an interesting, I'm sure you saw that clip going around on social media, the recent interview where the actress was saying, like, I don't think that, you know, Thaisa would give a crap one way or the other if her wife and kid come back. Did you see that?
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I have to check it out.
Somebody must have, it didn't have the reporter's question in the clip that I saw, but she was basically saying, you know, yeah, if, you know, she splits from her wife, I don't think that she would care or want or, you know, feel the need to fight for them to come back.
Wow.
And I felt like, yeah, you know, for her saying that about the character that she's playing, Tawny Cypress, I feel like that is so telling because so that scene where Adult Ty comes and visits Shauna at her house and they're kind of hanging out in Callie's bedroom and talking, you know, they're talking about what they could have had and what they have now and blah, blah, blah. And Shauna says something like, you know, you did have all those things that you wanted. You did sleep with, you know, a million girls in college and you did go on to do this. So we see that after they were rescued, she had a fulfilled life and that she had, you know, connections with people. But she's another one kind of like Misty where it feels like she's kind of doing that maybe more so Ty even does than Misty to check a box. Like these are things that people have to be considered thriving, to be considered successful. Like she has, you know, a lot of goals and aspirations. She has a lot of sexual partners. People are, you know, attracted to her. She's married. She has a kid. But now after seeing that clip and kind of dawned on me even before that, it doesn't seem like she cares about any of that, really, that she would be fine on her own.
Wow, that's really interesting. God, and that's, you know, and that's so funny too, because out of all of the characters, I mean, she seems to really, it surprises me that she said that, because she seems to, out of all the characters, she seems to love the hardest.
She seems to be good at looking like she's loving the hardest. Definitely. Yeah.
I mean, just like the way she is with Van and even the way she is with Shauna, you know?
Yeah. The relationship with Van, definitely. That seemed sincere because like she made. Because when you're faking it with someone, there are just little things that you wouldn't even think to do. And like for the Doomcoming party, she made those matching masks. Because she knew that Van was going to be, you know, self-conscious about her scars and stuff. So that's reads very real to me. But maybe that was kind of like her last humanity. Or maybe their relationship was just so special that she wasn't faking it when it came to Van, you know?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, she did say that Simone didn't make her feel it.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, she also, I realize, like, you know, Thaisa and Shauna, they're obviously their relationship is just platonic, although I don't know if it's just, you know, my shipper fantasies or or what, but I'm still convinced that something happened with them in the past.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, just their friendship alone. I mean, she's different with Shauna in a way than she is with other people. Like she seems to, you know, she seems very genuine with Shauna as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Like they have probably the best relationship on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as the present day timeline goes.
Yeah. But she still sent Jessica to speak with Shauna.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like just that whole thing, like they're close, but to what degree? And then she's still, you know, this is someone that she's so close to. She comes and has heart to hearts with her on her daughter's bed, but she's sending a private investigator to check on her and make sure that she won't flip, you know, and spill information. So it's just like all of these girls are kind of like sketchy with one another.
So let's talk about, I was so happy with, you know, poor Tawny Cypress hasn't gotten any sex scenes in the show yet. but I absolutely love the scene with Ty and Van in the woods.
Yeah.
When they're high on mushrooms.
Yeah. And that one where Van was like, treat me like a lady, when she says how dirty Ty's fingernails are. I thought that was so cute.
Yeah, I do too. but yeah, like I just, you know, the one where they're high on shrooms, and it's just like, I love that they weren't afraid to just go for it. And, you know, they didn't feel like, you know, and we talked about this kind of stuff a little bit on the one episode we did together before, but, you know, a lot of shows still hold back so much. And
right.
I remember I was so pissed off because, on The Walking Dead, when they introduced the character Aaron and you saw his boyfriend Eric for the first time, and the way that they established that they were together was like they he met up with them and then they shared a kiss, but when they kissed, it was you know, it was very close up and everything, but there was kind of like a shadow over them, and which there was in the scene in Yellow Jackets, but I mean, it was, if there wasn't a shadow, it would have been a lot more graphic.
Right. Yeah.
So I think they needed that in that case.
Yeah.
But I love it. Like that they didn't really, you know, it was, you don't really necessarily see that kind of stuff all the time between two people of the same sex. And so I really love that. I thought it was great.
I thought especially that was, I don't want to use the word brave, but like a lot of people are probably confused as to how women have sex with other women. So to see that, it's like, that's it. Like, that's what they do. You know, it's not just like the stereotypical, again, not to get too graphic, but like, that's what people do. So I liked that they actually showed that, and that, you know, she was like appreciative, even on shrooms. Ty was like seeing Van's scars kind of like glowing and stuff, that she loved her for all her imperfections. That was just, it was a really good, beautiful scene.
Yeah, I remember she took her mask off and she said, "You're so fucking beautiful." And then Van didn't wear a mask after that.
Yeah,
which is super cool.
Yeah, I think scars are cool. I mean,
I do too. I have a you know, I actually have one that I'm kind of self-conscious about, but I've had so many back surgeries, like my back is full of scars, and I haven't been to the pool in a long time, but I used to go regularly for therapy, and like, I don't care who sees my scars. I'm like, I feel like a badass.
Yeah. Just pretend you're Neve Campbell from The Craft, you know, remember with her scars.
Yes. Yes. She can do exactly. It.
Yeah.
I love my scars. I'm like, I remember looking in the mirror one time and like counting them all, and I'm like, I wonder if I could connect them to say fuck you somehow.
That would be a great tattoo. Someone would probably do that for free. That's awesome.
I think I probably could. I don't know. They're all like lower, so it might be a little cluttered, but But I hope Tawny, like, you know, it's sad because Ty's married, but, you know, poor Tawny Cypress hasn't gotten any sex scenes on the show so far. So maybe they're saving him for Van in the present day. Or Shauna.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? I was like speechless, and then I got even more speechless. That would just be like too much to even. I'm like blushing. That would be too much to even hope for.
Yeah. I shipped high with like everybody, with every female on the show. So.
Yeah.
I love that, you know, I remember reading in a article, Melanie Lynskey was so happy. She's like, I'm the one that's having all the sex. I'm like, and I'm so happy for her. But Thaisa needs to start getting busy.
Yeah. And it's funny. I noticed this didn't really pop out to me in the way I did the other day when I did this rewatch. Lottie has no sex.
Yeah.
Like, she's not even, she's beautiful and she's, you know, the antler queen or so we think. But the only thing that I could find was during Doom Coming, she kisses Travis. But that's it.
Yeah. And so, that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's no mention of even like her sexuality or any partners, you know, during the early scenes before they even leave for nationals. She's not shown with anyone or tied to anyone. That feels like it's intentional. Like what is going to, you know, come of that? Are we going to see her maybe because she's, you know, in this cult and stuff or this, you know, wellness clinic? Maybe they give up sexuality. Maybe they're just like, I don't know, something. But that felt very telling that you just don't see her sexualized in any way or tied to anyone.
Yeah, you really don't. Mm-hmm. 'Cause all of the other characters, I mean, you know, even Mari, I mean, she mentions, you know, it comes up that she dated this Danny Mears kid who left mm-hmm. her for his third cousin.
Yeah.
and actually in Aquila too, I don't think there's been any hint of Aquila's sexuality. But I would be so thrilled if Lottie ended up being asexual.
That would be good. I think it would be good to have a character like that. And then even though it kind of falls into that trope of like anytime you have some sort of like, you know, alternative sexual lifestyle, you're crazy, you know. So here you're going to then like the cult leader is going to be asexual. But it would fit because I think a lot of I shouldn't just rattle this off because I don't want to offend any, you know, people with different religious beliefs. But you give up sexuality to a certain degree with a lot of, you know, different practices. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do there.
She's got a lot. I mean, she's got kind of from the teaser that we saw, she's got kind of a harsh storyline coming up, too, as far as like post rescue. I mean,
yeah.
Clearly there's, you know, everyone supposedly thought she was institutionalized for years and she like was getting convulsive shock therapy. And it'll be interesting to. I'm really curious about that one. And you're right. It would. I hate the idea of like mixing. And there are some people for who it's valid too. I mean, there are a lot of people that whose sexuality is directly dependent on their trauma. That would be interesting. But at the same time, it could be like, you know, we don't really have any asexual characters. Like, can we just have one that isn't just asexual because they're asexual and not necessarily because they're because they were traumatized, you know?
Yeah, I read in some interview, and I need to start like a file of these, that Juliette Lewis said she's made it pretty clear that she has some problems with her character and that like this turned out to be different than what was, you know, pitched to her initially. And I read something that she said she had a problem with Natalie being so sexualized because, you know, they talk about, and she says in her first scene when she's coming out of rehab, that she, you know, used to rely on the drugs and the drinking and the sex and this and this, and we see her sleeping with people. Juliette Lewis, you know, expresses that she wished that it didn't go that way, that the character, you know, could have been played differently. And to some degree, I agree with that because Natalie would be strong and still a badass just as an addict or just as, you know, there could have only been one thing. She didn't have to be like, you know, have a sex addiction or they've never called it as much, but have something like that and be an addict and be this and get kidnapped. Like they're really heaping a lot on this character.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for them to say that the character is now going to be completely different in season two, maybe she'll get a break. Maybe they'll take some of that off.
Yeah, she did say, actually, I remember reading an interview with her, with Juliet Lewis, where she did talk about how she doesn't know if she, like, she can't see Natalie actually even enjoying sex.
Right.
And because, you know, because of all the trauma and everything.
Right.
And, you know, and a lot of that trauma, I think, is, you know, secondary to, like, her self-sabotage that she's, mm-hmm. that she's done in response to her existing trauma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and also coming from, and, you know, she had trauma before the plane crash too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Major trauma. It's interesting though, because we do see, when she and Travis get together, she tells him, you know, she tells him that it means something to her, and mm-hmm. it's not, you know, it's like she doesn't just sleep with anybody, and it's right. important to her, and it's special. And then we see her in the present day timeline, sleeping with Kevin, who was her best friend. Mm-hmm. Who we've also seen her be very kind of cold and manipulative toward, but we also understand, I mean, they showed later, like, just, you know, her sniffing his pillow, mm-hmm. that she obviously cared for him. But it's interesting because it's like there's this weird dichotomy with her. It's like she slept with him really fast.
Yeah.
For somebody who has, like, such conflicting feelings,
mm-hmm.
About both Kevin and about, you know, and about sex in general.
Yeah.
But she also did say that she imagines that Natalie probably hooked up with everybody in the wilderness. So,
yeah. And I was thinking, like, the chances are pretty good, even though they were best friends, that Natalie and Kevin hooked up when they were in high school.
Yeah, probably. Know?
So it probably felt very familiar, but and she was sad in the last episode, yeah, where they were at the reunion when Kevin comes and is like, you know, I hope you find everything that you're looking for, everything that you need or something. She has this really sorrowful look on her face as she watches him walk away. So there was definitely feelings there, but it seems like she was just really, you know, so hung up on Travis and that was her main guy.
Yeah. I mean, I think she, you know, and she talked about, you know, she talked nicely about him to Shauna and Thaisa too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I definitely think that she pushed him away to kind of, because she just didn't feel like she felt like it was a waste of time. It wasn't going to work out. And she, you know, it's going to get screwed up by all the other stuff she's dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because we're talking about Natalie and I'm suddenly like, I want to know more about, I hope we find out more about her relationship with Travis post wilderness, because we know that they obviously kept in touch but weren't consistent. Were they a couple after the wilderness, you know, like,
He had a picture of the two of them on his dresser, you know, all these years later. So, God, you wouldn't, unless he just, like, never redecorated. Like, maybe he just put that up there when he first got the cabin. But it definitely seemed like he was, you know, maybe not with anyone else, didn't move on. And even though they, Travis and Natalie, weren't tied anymore, that he just considered her still his person.
Yeah. So what do you think, Natalie's kink is?
What would her kink be? I don't think she doesn't have the same top energy as Shauna does to me, even though she looks the part more, you know, in terms of dress, I'm saying, yeah, like you with the leather jacket and everything else. Her kink is probably just like being wild, like driving really fast in a car, or, you know, leaving for a road trip in the middle of the night and just going out and being like just balls out wild with someone. I think that that type of like risk and adventure would get her going.
Yeah, I agree. I could see her being really into public sex.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Misty, on the other hand, I think her obvious, her very obvious kink is voyeurism. Yeah. And yes, we actually, I'm just going to bring up, you know, when we were recapping the season one episodes, we did these fun superlatives with these really crappy, deliberately crappy looking yearbook photos with the 90s laser background. And we did one for Misty.
I love that.
And Misty Quigley, most likely to steal your sex tape. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, she was watching she was watching Natalie and Kevin get it on, which was super creepy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what were you gonna say?
No, well, I have a thought about her, you know, continuing to watch Natalie, but it doesn't really go with the theme of the episode. But it was always puzzling to me, that final shot of Natalie when she has the rifle to her mouth and then the cult members come in and kidnap her. They got there just in time, you know, and it made me flash back to the scene where Misty comes in and stops her from doing coke right before she does it. So it's like, shoot, she was still watching her. Like, I don't know if Misty, you know, then that would lead one to believe that Misty is in cahoots with the cult in some way, which she very well may be. But yeah. How did they know to rush in at that exact moment? Were it not, you know, she was being, maybe she had other surveillance things in there aside from just Misty. Maybe that place was, you know, bugged up the wazoo. But yeah, that's what that made me think of.
Yeah, they were definitely watching her. It could be like, so I do think that, I suspect that either Misty is involved in the cult, or the guy that she got the drugs from,
right.
Or because it would have to be somebody that was in the room, you know, or somebody could have just broken in.
Yeah.
I mean, that could have happened as well, but yeah. Oh God. Like I'd love to know. I'd love to know Kevin's reaction to Misty Quigley watching them have sex.
And what she was doing, something, was she like, is that when she was sitting putting poison in the chocolates for Jessica's dad? Or she was fiddling with something on the couch as she was watching that. And she, the expression on her face was like she was watching Seinfeld or something. Like she was just pleased as punch. Oh, yeah. Yes. It was almost like, oh, look, I'm so glad that my friend is having sex. It was like such a strange reaction.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She was filling, I think she was filling the chocolates.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. And watching them have sex. And then later she was just watching him laying in bed.
Yeah. And then with Misty, perfect segue. So we see her in the first episode or the second episode? Well, when she's on that date and it's the, you know, the first time we see her at any length other than being in the hospital, she's on that first date. So we see her, you know, pursuing men, and then obviously, you know, she was pursuing Coach Ben. Does she ever actually have sex with anyone? It seems like she, you know, is in hot pursuit for these people, and really, you know, with both the first date and with Ben, she does the whole I get it, you think I'm ugly thing. So that's kind of like her snare to get them to feel sorry for her and you know, turn around. But has she had sex? Like, do you think that adult Misty has had sex with anyone? I don't know. I wonder if she's still, you know, an adult virgin.
You know, it's so funny because, you know, I've said this and a lot of other people have said this, that like it was super creepy that she sabotaged her, that, you know, she fucked up her own car on her date to just so she could get a ride back home from this guy and try to get him into her place. And, you know, everyone's thinking, oh my God, that screams serial killer. maybe she was just really desperate for to get laid.
Yeah, that could be. I do wonder, though, because the room that she keeps Jessica in, that's like a kill room. That's like a Dexter style kill room that she has all equipped, you know, with like the chains on the bedpost. So either she's more kinky than all of them.
Yeah.
Or she lures people into her house to kill them. Because when Natalie comes and says, you know, we need help disposing of a body, and gets her help to get rid of Adam, she's like, I'm a pro at this. So who has she been doing that to? You know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, if, you know, I said she obviously is voyeuristic, but yeah, I could also definitely see Misty enjoying some role play where she's like in the role of a nurse, and you know, she's wearing her regular scrubs and her patient is like dependent on her.
Which would be so terrifying.
I know.
So scary.
I know. God. I mean, I could so see that with her. It would be so perfect, but oh my God. Like, I'm just imagining that playing out for real and in a non-sexual way, and then having her like also be doing that in a sexual situation.
Yeah. Like putting diapers on them and stuff.
Oh my God. That's so messed up. I don't know. Maybe we'll, I don't know. Maybe we'll see, her and Walter hook up.
That would be cute. I worry for Walter. I mean, it's not even a full season that he's in, right? Isn't it just a couple episodes, or does he make it to the end of the season? I forget.
I thought he was going to be on for the whole season.
Okay. But then that's it. So he doesn't make it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh God. Who do you think is the kinkiest out of all of the characters?
Let me think. Probably Shauna. Probably Shauna, or who else? Maybe Van. I could see her. She seems pretty comfortable. And I feel like in order to be kinky, you have to be comfortable with yourself, comfortable with sex. And, you know, she just laid down in the dirt for God and everyone to see. So it seems like she would kind of be down for whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. Who do you think, other than the obvious of Thaisa and Van and Natalie and Travis, who do you think has hooked up in the woods with each other?
Let me think. Who? What if Lottie and Laura Lee hooked up? And I say that partially joking, but I just remembered how when they're getting ready for Doom Coming, you know, Lottie puts on Laura Lee's dress and I don't think she fully sniffs it, but comes pretty close to sniffing it.
So oh,
that would be funny if they just had a little, you know, a real come to Jesus moment in the woods together that we didn't see. Yeah.
That would be pretty funny.
I think everyone, I want to know, what scene was it? There's a few where you see people that are like not part of the core cast, like the other people who were, you know, there in the wilderness that we don't ever get to see.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they were the freaky ones. They were doing, you know, organizing sex parties or something, and we just didn't get to see it.
Yeah. Yeah. They were, they already know about a second shelter, and they've been using it to have orgies.
I mean, yeah.
Well, everyone else has been gun training and trying to molest Travis and doing shrooms. They were all just having big orgies in the second shelter.
Poor Travis.
Lottie's running a sex cult. That's what it is.
She's like, how dare you say that I'm not a sexualized person? I have a sex cult. You just don't know about it yet.
Yes. Yes. And the second season is going to be all orgies and ritualized orgies.
We're getting, you know, closer and closer to March 24th, and they keep saying that this is darker, you know, that it's, you know, darker than we could imagine, darker than the first season. bring it. Like, I'm just so thrilled. The darker, the better.
Yeah. I'm scared and excited. So yeah. I'm like, I want to see how messed up they actually are willing to go. I know they're not going to eat the baby.
No. I almost think they should have eaten the baby. Like that, just for like the visuals. Not like they would have shown it, but if you're going to go big, go big. Eat that baby.
Yeah. See, I'm like, it's disturbing. It's actually disturbing me, and people are going to hate me now for saying this, and we're probably going to lose all of our viewers and listeners. But I'm actually really bothered by the idea of them not eating Jackie.
Yeah.
Because she's perfectly frozen and, you know, preserved in the snow. And I mean, you know,
she's got a good amount of meat on her. Yeah, it would make sense for them to just make do with what they have.
Yeah. I mean, it's just practical.
As a new, fairly new vegan, it makes me sad to see them killing and eating all these animals. So I'm like, you guys eat the baby. You don't want to have a baby in the wilderness. Just eat it. Like a little Cornish game hen.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the chicken baby. I want to see Shauna have a chicken baby. That would be amazing. And then she has, they're completely high on shrooms when she has the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually thinks she's giving birth to a chicken, and everyone thinks it's a chicken. And so they just start chowing down and
grab a drumstick. Yeah.
And then they realize the next day that they ate a human infant.
God, what do you think about that picture that was going around of the wrapping when the 90s cast wrapped, and there were, you know, a few group photos going around, but there was one where Shauna looks very pregnant. Teen Shauna still looks very pregnant, which, you know, is leading us to believe that she doesn't have the baby in the second season. And it seems like that timeline-wise wouldn't work. It seems like she needs to have that baby because she was already showing pretty, you know, good at the end of the first season. So,
maybe they're not going to really get very far in the second season in the 90s timeline. They don't really have to drag out the wilderness storyline to keep the younger cast around for longer. Right. I mean, they can keep doing flashbacks like post rescue and everything. True. But it looks like we're going to be getting stuff from all different kinds of timelines in season two.
It'll be interesting. Yeah. One person whose sexy times we didn't talk about were Coach Ben, and we're going to
call.
And I'm looking forward to that, seeing, you know, what their relationship was really like, and just kind of fleshing out Coach Ben more, because he is an interesting character. It's interesting how he reacts to things. And he had to spend most of his time, you know, that we've seen so far, fending off Misty. So it'd be cool to see him in his real life, you know, in love, and then missing that love, which is kind of heartbreaking.
Yeah, for sure. Paul was actually supposed to be in the pilot.
Really? I didn't know that.
Adult Paul.
Okay.
And there was a scene of them. There was a scene of them together in the I think it was like right before he left to go to the plane. And
I wonder why they cut that. That would have been good because you got to see everyone else, you know, leading up. And then he was just kind of like, you know, quit running, girls. He was just like Coach Ben from the get go. We didn't have his like life outside of that. It would have been cool to see.
Yeah, they cut out a lot. I mean, they had a whole other character that was this other teacher that was supposed to be going with them that had a big crush on Ben that they got rid of. That was cast too by the actress Amy Okuda was supposed to play her.
Okay.
Cool. And the character's name was Kat Wheeler, and she was another teacher. And Coach Martinez asked her to come along because they wanted a female there. And
that would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. And they just cut that whole thing out.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why they did that. But yeah, there was a lot cut out of the pilot. And actually some really amazing lines were cut out of the pilot too that I'm kind of bummed about. But
I hope they release that. Like with the Twin Peaks pilot, you know, they did Missing
Pieces.
Oh,
it's out there.
Oh, I gotta see it. You're scooping me here. I'm gonna have a day. I'm gonna have a day of Googling. I gotta see all this. That's amazing.
Yeah, the pilot's out there. I'll send it to you.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. I mean the written pilot. Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's out there. They were originally supposed to also graduate in 94, which is the year I graduated. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of cool. But everything got pushed back because of COVID.
Right.
Because they, you know, they wanted it to be the 25th anniversary. So like it was suddenly no longer 2021, or I mean, it was suddenly no longer 2019. It was, you know, it was going to be 2021. So they had to go, 25 years from that. But, there's a whole bunch of, and actually, Justin from the Out of the Woods podcast and I recorded some scenes that I'm releasing slowly of us reading some of the dialogue from the pilot, from the original pilot script that was not included in the show. So that's
awesome.
That's something that that everyone can look forward to. But yeah, I still want to know why Ben had so many goddamn condoms on him.
That was the mate from the questions, because I know we both put on our social media, you know, if anyone had questions to write in. And that was the number one question that I got from multiple people. That and just like people saying more gay sex in season two.
Yes.
Yes. But yeah, why so many condoms? What was he going to be doing?
Yeah. God, I mean, because was Paul going to be meeting him there? And if not, who was he planning on banging, you know?
Seriously.
I'm really, I would love to find that out. I hope we find that out. That could get awkward if Cat Wheeler was a character and was still around, because then everybody would just be assuming that he was banging her until like he came out of the closet. there would have been a lot of awkwardness there, because Cat and Misty Misty would have had a rivalry with Kat there, because like they were both in love with Ben.
Yeah. Well, Kat might have found herself, you know, in a freshly dug grave.
Yeah.
She was getting in Misty's way too much in the wilderness.
Yeah, I think so too. is there anyone else that you wanted to talk about? Like, I do wonder a lot about Travis.
I do too.
And like he clearly had a lot of sexual hangups.
Yeah.
And he was inexperienced, but so it could just be that. But
the whole flex thing seemed to hold him back a lot. And that's such a silly thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like for someone calling him that, and it's such a ridiculous thing. But that seemed to definitely hold him back. And then the fact that he ended up losing his virginity, you know, to Jackie rather than Natalie is just so unfortunate. And then Jackie was such a dick about it afterwards. And she's like, oh, so that's sex. You know?
Oh, God. Yeah.
Poor Travis.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm just wondering, there's a lot of speculation that maybe he was sexually abused.
I've seen that, because like when they left, his dad, you know, said goodbye to his mom and there was like tension there. But I think that, you know, Travis's dad was just like cheating on his mom. I never personally picked up on sexual abuse, but it very well could be, you know, that would definitely explain all of his hangups and stuff. And we don't know that much about Coach Martinez, so maybe he was more of a monster. But then if that had been the case, I don't think that Travis would have let Javi be around him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. But that's interesting to think about as a possibility.
Yeah, that's a popular theory. And I don't know that I necessarily suspect that. I think Travis was just kind of I think he just had a lot of hangups in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's just how, I mean, that's my take on him anyway. I think that's just how
he was so hard on himself. Like, Natalie was really just making it very easy for him, you know, laying it up, and she was nice and patient and walking him through and trying to do what you should do, you know, letting your partner know like what works for you and what doesn't work. She's trying to kind of give him like a tutorial on how to have his first experience. Yeah. And he was so, he just didn't respond to that well at all, which I know it's hard to get feedback, you know, in times like that, but he blew it. Like, he really did.
Yeah.
He, you know, that he could have come away with the experience that he wanted, but instead here comes Jackie.
Yeah. And it, my, honestly, my take on that is that he was, I think he, I saw that as him kind of spiraling, because I think he loved Natalie.
Yeah.
Or at least that's how he felt. And it's like, as soon as things got awkward, they just kept getting more and more awkward for him. And he just kept feeling more and more terrible and just wanted to get out of there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, that makes sense. That's like what it's like in life. You know, if you have one technical, you know, error, like you've got a bunch of stuff plugged into your computer and one thing goes wrong, you know, everything is going to go wrong. And then that's just going to ruin your day and you're going to be like fixated on it. And in, you know, sexual situations, that's just so amplified because you just want to be cool and good, especially for a teenage boy. He wants to go in there and just be like, you know, I'm the best at this. And he wasn't. He was, you know, he was not a natural at that in any way. And not like you have to be, but he didn't respond to it well.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's like I feel it's funny because I always hate defending Travis because he was just kind of a dick. But like there are things that just I can't help but feel bad for him at the same time, because I think that like he had some things that he had to grow out of.
Yeah.
And clearly that he had a toxic relationship with Natalie as adults, but we don't really know anything about that. So it'll be interesting to find out more about him.
Yeah.
I hope we get to find out more about him anyway.
Yeah.
In the coming seasons. But yeah. So one thing that I can't end the episode without bringing up, one of my favorite scenes was Akilah's reaction to Shauna being pregnant. Because like, you know, Jackie out, like, she told everyone she was pregnant, and Misty immediately, like, everyone had their own reactions, and Akilah was just like, you were having sex?
Yeah. It would be shocking. I mean, oh my God.
I love it.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I would be offended. I'd be like, yes? Yeah, of course I'm having sex. What are you trying to say?
Right? Oh my God. That's so funny. But yeah, so I mean, was like, I wonder if Shauna was the only non-virgin, or, well, no, Natalie, obviously. Natalie wasn't a virgin when they got into the woods. But
yeah.
I wonder if everybody else were virgins.
Yeah.
Who knows? I mean, they're so young. They're so young. I mean, Akilah probably was, because, you know, she was really young. And, but yeah. I hope Akilah and Mari make it out.
I do
but
too.
But I think we're gonna lose at least one of them.
We have to lose. Yeah. And this show, the way like that they do, it's gonna be somebody big. And I worry that it's gonna be Natalie, just because Juliette Lewis, you know, doesn't seem thrilled. She doesn't seem thrilled.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say anything bad about her. I love her. And this isn't really even bad, but the interviews and stuff, and that Vulture panel, she didn't seem like she wanted to have any part in like the discussion. And she has just really stuck to the story of how her character didn't end up being what she was pitched. So I fear, big time fear, that she's going to fail and that they're going to have to kill off her character, which is going to suck so bad. I hope that doesn't happen.
I worried about that too, but you know, from what I've seen of interviews she's been in recently, it sounds like she it it sounds like she might have had a little bit more input going forward. So I hope that's the case. She sounds a little bit more excited.
Oh, good.
Than she has in the past. So
yeah, she's so creative. And to think about how long she's been around, you know, Cape Fear, how young she was and the role that she had in that. If she had any advice to give, I would certainly take it. So like her feeding in on that character, which seems so on point, you know, with what she excels at playing, which is probably annoying for her at this point and part of the whole problem. But she would probably have a lot to feed into that and amp it up even more.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, hopefully we won't lose her anytime soon. So did you have any other thoughts to add?
Should we read through Misty's turn-ons?
That's
right. I wrote
right.
them down. Just
how did we forget about Misty's turn-ons? Oh, my God. Yeah.
Do you want me just to read them?
Yes, why don't you go ahead and read Misty's turn-ons.
Okay, so here's Misty Quigley's turn-ons. Bubble baths, walks in the rain, muscular calves, escalators, knuckles, steamed clams, obviously. And the obviously is such the punchline there because it's like, is it? Is that and all of these, like bubble baths, okay, walks in the rain, sure. Muscular calves, I guess. Escalators.
Sexcalators.
Yeah. Knuckles, like... I can see that maybe too, but like she's wild. I love Misty.
Yeah.
And then the guy's just like, hair. Like,
yeah.
He asks what his turnouts are. She's like, I have it. That's great.
Yeah. I have hair. Oh my God. Like, I just, I need explanations.
I want to know about like, the escalator.
Like, I know. Like, did she have sex on an escalator?
If I was on a first date and someone said that to me, I love eccentric people. I'd be like on one knee. This is not a first date. This is a proposal. You have to marry me because you're cuckoo bananas and I love it.
Yeah. Oh my God. But yeah, knuckles. That's knuckles I can't even say escalator, the word escalator anymore. I keep wanting to say sexcalator. yeah, knuckles. Wow. I loved that Kevin Tan told Natalie, like, when Natalie was apologizing for Misty texting him as her, and he was it's like, you know, I'm not the type to shy away when a woman's telling me how shapely my legs are. Oh my God.
The show needs to make books. I've thought about this. I want a book of Shauna's journals, like Laura Palmer's secret diary. They should do Shauna Shipman's secret journals. And yes. I want a zine or something of just anything that Misty writes down, those texts, her charts from work, which are probably equally, you know, amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Oh God, I would love to see those. That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our special sex episode.
Happy Valentine's Day. Pre-happy Valentine's Day. If you celebrate.
Yeah. Yeah, happy Valentine's Day. Happy anti-Valentine's Day. Happy Galentine's Day.
Yeah.
Whatever you're celebrating. I actually kind of personally hate Valentine's Day.
It has the same amount of pressure as New Year's Eve, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'm the type of person, I have to have Valentine's Day. I'm really big on holidays. I'm like a nerd that way. So we're going out to eat. We're doing the whole thing. But it is stressful because it's one of those, more even than Christmas, you have to make it a certain way. And like everything has to be perfect where... God, we should just stay home and watch SVU, you know, like just not do that. But like you do these things that you feel like you have to do, but it is all ridiculous.
The only thing I got excited about with Valentine's Day, first of all, I love hearts. I'm obsessed with hearts. But every February, Dunkin' Donuts has the most and I'm not a Dunkin' Donuts fan, but Dunkin' Donuts has the most amazing brownie batter filled heart-shaped donuts every February, and I totally forgot about it until now, so I am going to text my husband and tell him that if he doesn't bring some home, that he's kicked out of the house tonight.
He's going to get the Shipman.
Yes, exactly. but yeah, otherwise, I'm just like, you know, one of those people, like if someone tells me I'm supposed to celebrate something, I'm suddenly totally against it.
Yeah, I get that. Well, that's so Gen X of you, you know?
I know, isn't it? And it's funny too, because I don't like, I identify more as an Xennial.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have a very, my attitude is very Gen X. Mm-hmm. well, we have lots of fun stuff coming up. We still have more bonus episodes to put out before the season starts. And just a reminder, we are going to be recording twice a week for season two, which will be a lot of fun. We're going to be going live on YouTube immediately after new episodes of Yellow Jackets. And we're going to be giving away a Letterman jacket during the first live episode. So you'll have to tune in to be eligible to win. But make sure you follow us on our social media, because I'll be sharing different ways that you can get more chances to win. We are, again, at the Antler Queens on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And our website is theantlerqueenspodcast.com. And I am going to be updating. I have a lot of updates to make on our website, so I'm going to be doing that as soon as I get some time. But yeah, we're going to have all of Kelly's articles up there, and hopefully we'll get our new merch. Our new merch store uploaded. I've been working on that forever. Yeah, we got lots of fun stuff coming up. So stay tuned, join us for the live episodes. And, you know, we're hopefully, I mean, I've got so many ideas even beyond season two for fan panels and all kinds of stuff. So, stick around, and, we will see you back here very soon. And before we skedaddle out of here, and my headband keeps falling off. Oh my God. My headband is telling me that it's time to go. I just want to, again, just give a nice little thank you to our executive producer, Nakia. Yay. And our honorary Antler Queens, Courtney and Jade. And you can visit our Patreon at patreon.com, The Antler Queens. If you want to find out how to support the podcast. So thank you, ladies. You guys are awesome. You know, we love you. We will sign off here. Peace, love, and yellow jackets, y'all.
Special thanks to executive producer Nakia Lamb and honorary Antler Queens Courtney Davis and Jade Moffitt. Visit us at www.theantlerqueenspodcast.com.